WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. President Biden hit the picket lines in Detroit today to show solidarity with striking auto workers.
Mr. Biden wearing a windbreaker and UAW cap, greeting strikers on the picket line outside a GM parts distribution center in suburban Detroit. He offered his support through a bullhorn.
Stick with it, because you deserve the significant raise you need and other benefits.
Let's get it!
Back we lost.
No way!
Car makers say they are willing to reward workers and are eager to stay at the bargaining table. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Former President Trump joins them there tomorrow. Congress may be in crisis mode soon, with just a few days to go before the government shuts down. CBS's Nicole Killian joined House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on Capitol Hill, where he urged President Biden to do more to stop it.
He believes that it is important to have border security as part of a short-term spending package. And so while the House will be moving forward on some appropriations bills today that will fund the government for a longer period of time, there's also this stopgap measure that has to be passed in both chambers. And what the Speaker is saying is that has to address border security.
Hunter Biden is suing Rudy Giuliani now for hacking and manipulating data linked to his laptop. Here's CBS's Graham Cates.
The lawsuit accuses them of spending an extraordinary amount of time and obsessing over the data. But the lawsuit claims some of the data was tampered with, manipulated, and altered.
Both men face separate criminal charges. Amazon's responding to the FTC's monopoly lawsuit. CBS's Jim Krasula.
In a written statement from its top lawyer, Amazon says the FTC lawsuit makes clear that its focus, quote, has radically departed from its mission of protecting consumers and competition. Amazon says the practices the federal government are challenging have helped increase competition and innovation in the retail industry and have produced greater selection, lower prices, and faster delivery times.
Days after police released more details on a giant drug stash that allegedly killed a toddler at a New York City daycare, Health Commissioner Ashwin Vasan issued a new recommendation.
I want every New Yorker to carry naloxone to learn the signs of an overdose, and should they encounter an emergency, to be able to administer naloxone and call 911.
New COVID vaccines and free test kits are now available online. Dr. Celine Gounder says it's all coming in time for those family gatherings.
As of yesterday, covidtest.gov is up and running again. The government wants to make sure everybody, every household has tests on hand ahead of the holidays.
And ahead of a COVID surge. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Exergen, the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Eau Claire Fire and Rescue is putting out a call for more firefighters to join the department. The department is currently looking to hire 6 new firefighters thanks to a public safety referendum passed by Eau Claire voters last year, and grant funding from the Department of Homeland Security could allow the department 12 new hires, saving the county money by decreasing the need for overtime pay. The department will need Eau Claire City Council approval to spend the grant funding. A spokesperson for XL Energy says some Wisconsin residents could see a decrease in prices for people who heat their homes with gas. The price of wholesale gas is reportedly down 8% compared to last year, and bills are expected to be around $126 to $140 per month. XL Energy representatives also advised Wisconsinites that there are other things they can do to lower their bills, like opening blinds to take advantage of the sun's warmth and lowering the thermostat when leaving the house. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs.
And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. I'm going to start with a subject that has been bothering me for a long time, something that you may want to call our senators and congressmen about. The Biden administration right now is in discussions with Saudi Arabia about whether to give them, supposedly for civilian use only, nuclear power. I think it's a terrible idea. I'm going to give you the background of what's occurred. Recent documentation has shown that when Trump was president, at the very end, he was in negotiations and discussions with Saudi Arabia about transferring nuclear power capability, enrichment capability, to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And there's little doubt in my mind that the reason he did it was for money. Remember that Jared Kushner got $2 billion from them? One of their internal people at their investment fund said, why are we giving him $2 billion? He doesn't know anything about investing. And the Crown Prince Mohammed, remember Chainsaw Charlie, remember him, Khashoggi, said, go ahead and do it. In addition, it's been disclosed that Mike Flynn was part of that negotiation, and there are still ongoing discussions. And the thing that's most disturbing was that in that discussion about getting nuclear power to Saudi Arabia, the Russians were involved as well. Trump lost the election. Mohammed, Prince Mohammed, the crown prince, on the one hand, is vicious as hell. On the other hand, he's younger and he's showing some propensity to open things up, whatever that means. But he's insistent on getting nuclear energy for his country. Here's why it's a bad idea, but here's what he's willing to give up, and here's how the negotiation should take place. The idea is he has offered to recognize the state of Israel. If he does that, it would be a an incredible record-breaking event in any negotiation over Mideast peace. Saudi Arabia has the two holiest cities in Islam, Medina and Mecca. And for him to do that, theoretically, the rest of the Muslim world would either have to go along or would feel a lot of pressure to go along. He's already shown some inclination to do it. I think he sees the handwriting on the wall and realizes that Saudi Arabia can't do anything about it. He is now letting Israeli civilian aircraft fly in Saudi Arabian airspace, which cuts off a very, very long distance in some of their flights. So all that's good. He wants two things. He wants the United States to enter into a mutual defense pact, half of which is laughable, half of which is that they would defend us if we were attacked. Good luck. The other half is we will defend them if they're attacked by Yemen, by Iran, or by anybody else. And it may be that we would anyway, because it's in our interest to do it. But make no mistake what Saudi Arabia is like. Saudi Arabia, their border guards, when Yemeni migrants, refugees seek asylum and come in, they're machine gun. You know, you look at our southern border, imagine if that were a Saudi Arabian border, they just machine gun them. In some cases, they're sadistic, and they force male migrants to rape female migrants so that they can enjoy themselves watching. This is not a human culture in any respect. And I adamantly do not want to see us transfer nuclear power to Saudi Arabia. If you take a look at Iran, they developed some nuclear power. They've continuously lied. They've continuously said, we're not doing it for military purposes, but now they've enriched it over 60%, which translated means that it can be used for nuclear purposes when they said they wouldn't. And when they were asked by Fareed Zakaria on the show on Sunday, the president of Iran, he simply said, he ignored it. He wouldn't answer. They're trying to develop nuclear weapons. Listen to this statement very carefully. It is important that no jihadist culture ever get nuclear weapons. Unfortunately, one of them already has them, Pakistan, and this one in Iran looks like it's about to get them. The problem with that is the instinct of jihad is the extermination or forcible conversion of anybody of any other religion. Pakistan's hands are tied because China has nuclear weapons and they have a border with Pakistan, and India has nuclear weapons and they have a border with Pakistan. So Pakistan realizes if they ever use them, they'd be toast because both India and China are not going to stand by and get attacked. But Saudi Arabia is different. Saudi Arabia in the Middle East, very close to Israel, very close to Italy, all of Europe, very close to our Sixth Fleet in the Mediterranean. They are a jihadist culture. Let me explain. On 9/11, there's evidence now, especially that Joe Biden declassified some of those 29 secret documents that George W. Bush wouldn't declassify, Obama wouldn't declassify, Trump wouldn't declassify. Biden declassified some of them, but not all of them. And they show that people in the Saudi Arabian government were behind it. The Saudi ambassador to the United States had the telephone numbers of the people that bombed or that ran into the World Trade Center in planes in his pocket. On December of 2019, we were training Saudi Arabian pilots in Florida on a naval base. And one of them, maybe several, came to class and pulled out guns and murdered several of our sailors. The weekend before, they'd all of them, not just the two or so that did the shooting, had gone to New York to scout out bombing sites, Rockefeller Center, the Empire State Building, that kind of thing. Donald Trump immediately jumped in and defended Saudi Arabia against outrage that they had murdered our sailors. He said, the Crown Prince Mohammed is heartsick about this, he said. Trump doesn't look sincere in anything he says, but that was a real joke. The Crown Prince Mohammed is heartsick about this, he said. Donald Trump is on the take. He's been on the take from the Russians, and he's on the take from Saudi Arabia. When he was elected in 2016, he said that Muslims should not be admitted into the country after the Charlie Hebdo incident in Paris. Now he's a defender of jihadist culture and is trying to help them get nuclear power. But it's not just nuclear power. Let me be blunt. If the United States lets nuclear technology into Saudi Arabia, they're going to have engineers from Russia, China, and North Korea come in and teach them how to convert it. And in the Washington Post today, one of the big announcements was, well, Saudi Arabia has now agreed, this is unbelievable, agreed to permit inspectors to come in and see that they're not using it for bad purposes. Wait a minute. Iran agreed to let inspectors in, and then they threw them out. There's a city in Saudi Arabia where a non-Muslim is prohibited to set foot. A Christian, a Jew, anybody who's not a Muslim can't set foot in the city. They're going to let inspectors in from Europe? You kidding me? Or the United States? I'm going to make a very blunt, plain statement. We do not want Saudi Arabia to have nuclear power anytime. They don't need it for civilian purposes. They have all the oil they need. Knock it off. And this business of, well, they'll defend us if we'll defend them. We already defend them. And they'll recognize Israel and the Abraham Accords. That's important. That's great. Those negotiations should continue. They're letting Israeli airplanes go over their space, but not at the expense of nuclear weapons. And at some point, these characters have got to be taught a lesson. And it's not going to be by letting them develop nuclear weapons, because they will do it. They will lie to your face. We're going to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Bill.
Great topic, as usual. You know, the U.S. and the Saudis have had a very strange relationship. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when we were defending the Kuwaiti oil wells, that was Saudi Arabia. Now, bin Laden got upset that we were there. He got upset. He didn't like it that we were there, because we're, you know, in their culture, we're just a disgusting piece of junk that they have no use for. I forgot there's a term they use for us. Anyhow, when after 9/11, correct me if I'm wrong, the Saudis were allowed to leave our country, correct?
Right.
Specific
right.
Saudis who had knowledge of what 9/11 was about, and they were allowed to leave without question. Am I interpreting wrong, Matt, or just run with the ball now? You know what I'm talking about.
No, what happened was George W. Bush let 50 some odd of them out before the FBI could talk to him. That's obstruction. And he said he did it to keep relations good. The fact of the matter is that he and his family had investments that were intertwined with the Saudis. I don't trust George W. Bush as far as I can throw him, but you're right, he did, and the FBI couldn't interview them. They knew what was going on. They knew what was going on, and I think the Bush government didn't want public outrage to turn against Saudi Arabia. Public outrage, almost 3,000 people were killed. Airplanes were hijacked. I'm going to make a statement. No nuclear power for Iran. Do you understand? It shouldn't have been in Iran. At some point, we're going to have to bomb Iran, because the minute they develop a nuclear weapon, they're going to train it on one of our aircraft carriers or on Israel or on Italy or somewhere. Enough is enough. The Saudis have never told the truth in 1,000 years. Enough is enough. They can be negotiated into recognizing Israel. That's a good thing. The Abraham Accords are a great thing, but not at the expense of nuclear power. We're going to the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray evening shower, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight and a low in the upper 50s. More clouds around for tomorrow, just a slight chance of a shower, high upper 60s. Some sun and low 70s Thursday. Warmer on Friday with abundant sunshine, highs in the upper 70s. Currently at 62 degrees.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Hey.
Welcome back to Matt and Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go right to the lines. Dave of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dave?
Yeah, in 2003, we definitely attacked the wrong country and for the wrong reasons. You know, we could have attacked Iran in 2003 when they were a lot weaker and their nuclear program was really limited to Natanz, Bashir, Iraq, and Isfahan, really those four places. Now it's all over the country. I don't know how a conflict with Iran would play out. No one really does. You know, they've got missiles. They have the Hezbollahs in northern Israel. And, you know, we said at the time that this is going to create, you know, Iran's going to get a nuke and because we attacked the wrong country. And what do you think Saudi Arabia is going to do? You know, what do you think United Arab Emirates are going to do? Oman, Bahrain, Qatar, all those countries. And we're seeing now exactly, you know, all that play out, the nuclearization of the Middle East. And, you know, at the time, the Israelis, they advocated that we attack Iran instead of Iraq, although both were enemies and they definitely supported, you know, either attacking either country. And, you know, Saudi Arabia, they're a medieval country. I mean, they just executed, I think, 82 people at the same time. And, yeah, they're nasty. And they have a significant Shiite population around the oil fields. And they're horribly oppressed. Anyone, any kind of dissent is horribly suppressed. And you mentioned that Mohammed bin Salman is somewhat open. He's not open. I don't think he's open at all. I think he succumbed to pressure of female Saudi dissidents when they protested that they couldn't drive and he finally allowed them to drive. Oh my God, we'll give them a medal. And what does he do now? As soon as they instituted that policy, Matt, they put them all in prison and their conditions deteriorating. Everyone's really, really, really worried about them. The conditions are horrible. And, you know, again, Saudi Arabia is definitely not a country you can, like, it can be trusted at all or trusted with nukes. They don't support the United States at all. Biden tried to, when inflation was so much significantly higher, Biden tried to get the Saudis to get OPEC, and they control OPEC largely, to increase production. Anyway, I can go on, but I dominate the show.
Yeah, no, Dave, those are excellent comments. I agree with them. And I'm going to say one more thing. The United States has to maintain dominance. Now, we want the Abraham Accords. The Abraham Accords are a great thing. And as a result, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, actually, I think Morocco and Sudan actually signed on. And the point is to drag everyone else in, kicking and screaming or whatever they do. We have great relations right now with Jordan, although they're not in the Abraham Accords. We have okay relations with Egypt. We cannot introduce nuclear weapons in the Middle East. We can't do it. Israel has nuclear weapons. They're responsible about how they maintain them, and they don't use them. Iran is getting nuclear weapons. I agree with you. George W. Bush should not have attacked Iraq. That was a fake. That was a fake because many people don't remember. Okay, 9/11 happens. He went down in the polls. And then the talk shows, or the late night shows, I should say, the late night comedy shows, they had one of them, and this is Jay Leno, showed a limousine coming up, and it says the president is approaching. He gets out, and there's this huge cloud of white powder because he'd used cocaine, and he admitted in an interview when they asked him if he had used it, he said, this is George W. Bush. He said, not since my father was elected vice president. Well, his father was elected vice president in 1980 when George W. Bush was 34. So he used nose candy till 1980. And he was really bad in the polls. So 9/11 comes along, he attacks Iraq. Saddam Hussein was not responsible for 9/11. Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction. And that was a fake by George W. Bush. He lied about it. That's exactly what he did. He had our ambassador to Kuwait, April Glaspie, tell Saddam Hussein, well, if he invaded Kuwait, we probably wouldn't do anything. That was a lie. That was a trick. That was a trap. He went in, and then suddenly we attacked him. I agree with you. We could have attacked Iran. One of the problems, I've always thought about this, and I've talked to one nuclear scientist about it. You take North Korea, and you take Iran. What if we just bomb the living hell out of both of them, their nuclear facilities, kill all their leaders, and denuclearize them? And he said that would be a bad idea. And the reason he said, and he was right about one of them with North Korea, is, you know, their capital is something like 35 miles from South Korea, and they have a border to China. But Iran is not so heavily invested in by Russia and China in terms of borders. And one of these days, if they frankly develop a nuclear weapon and look like they're about to engage it, Israel will bomb them. And Israel is our strong ally. So the bottom line, I don't want to get dragged in. We have a lot of other stuff to talk about, but I want to talk about this as bluntly as I can. No nukes for Saudi Arabia. At least no nukes for Saudi Arabia. Call our senators, call congressmen. They react to pressure. Write them a note, send them an email saying, we do not want nuclear power to Saudi Arabia. Our sailors were murdered by them in Florida and Pensacola in 2019. Almost 3,000, 2,950 or so people were murdered on 9/11. No nukes, no nuclear power, no lying about inspectors by Saudi Arabia. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. President Biden spent hours with striking auto workers today in Detroit and applauded them for demanding more from automakers.
You deserve the significant raise you need and other benefits.
Let's get it.
Let's get back who we lost.
Former President Trump's due in Michigan tomorrow. Some Republicans refuse to work with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on a spending compromise that could shut down the government. CBS's Jared Hill.
A group of hardline Republicans lobbying for deep spending cuts is pushing for a shutdown, emboldened by former President Trump, who posted on social media, "Unless you get everything, shut it down."
Hunter Biden suing Rudy Giuliani and his former lawyer for allegedly messing with data on his laptop. CBS's Graham Cates.
The lawsuit accuses them of spending an extraordinary amount of time and obsessing over the data. The lawsuit claims some of the data was tampered with, manipulated, and altered.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A proposed bill introduced by three Republican lawmakers would allow Wisconsin election officials to begin the process of counting absentee ballots the day before Election Day. Clerks would not be able to count the ballots themselves until after the polls close, but they could perform other tasks like ensuring all voters are eligible, checking for witness signatures, or even just taking the ballot out of the envelope to run it through the voting equipment. A Western Wisconsin deputy is facing charges relating to a domestic incident that occurred last week. According to the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Ryan Schick is facing allegations of domestic battery, false imprisonment, strangulation, and stalking. Schick was taken into custody at the county jail and no details have been provided about his appearance before a judge. The investigation into the charges is being overseen by the Polk County Sheriff's Office. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Methlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines, Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Mark from the SAC?
Yeah, I'm wondering if Donald Trump actually committed another felony yesterday when he attempted to purchase a handgun. And and I don't know if he ended up purchasing it or not, but I went on and took a look at the form 4473 because I filled them out before when I made firearm purchases, but it actually says in there if you're under indictment, you cannot buy a firearm. And also, you know, and for another little tidbit, I saw out there that even in the states where marijuana is legal, you cannot buy a firearm. And because it's under against federal law, so Lauren Boebert should be make sure that there was not marijuana in the vape cartridge that she was enjoying at the showing of Beetlejuice. But well, I'm just wondering if Donald Trump, and if anybody tried to provide Donald Trump with a firearm at this point in time, they'd be committing a felony as well, if I understand what I read correctly.
Yeah, let me clear that up. That's an excellent point. And just so everybody knows, Donald Trump is, you know, crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump. He posed at a gun shop saying, I want to buy one of those. And it was a Glock. It's a gold Glock, gold plated or whatever. And it has his picture on it. It's a Trump special, they call it. So here's the law on it. They're prosecuting Hunter Biden for this. They're prosecuting Hunter Biden for buying a gun when he was a drug addict. You can't buy it when you're a drug addict, and you can't buy it when you have even been indicted for a felony. So the way they snuck out of it, they pose that way, and all of his supporters go, oh, wow, that's great. He's sticking it to us. No, because then his hacks, his campaign spokesman just came out for crooked Donald Trump and said he didn't actually buy it. He admired it. He held it. He said he'd like one, but he left without buying it. Frankly, he was lucky he did, because the guy who would really be in trouble would be the store owner. And so for selling it to him. So that's the way they sneak out of this stuff. They're not about to commit harakiri. But the truth is, yeah, they should not have sold them one. And he goes right. This is so immature. The guy's crooked. He's on the take. He's a Russian agent. He's going to pull us out of NATO, divide the country, destroy our democracy. But the clown can't help himself. Crooked, lying Donald Trump can't help himself brushing up against doing another felony and then kind of stepping back. And it was unbelievably sad, unbelievably juvenile. Okay, I want to get to this government shutdown again. This is we've been beating this horse for a couple of days now. Well, the Pentagon just issued a statement, a really great statement. And it said that if this shutdown goes through, and this is something that I alluded to when I talked the other day about all of the bad effects of the shutdown, but they point out, it says over 1 million military members and civilian employees of the military are at risk of going without pay if they're furloughed or if they are told not to go to work and then it's unlawful of them to come back. Or frankly, if they even stay and they don't get paid. The Pentagon went on to say, this just came in, it will have a huge impact on our readiness. It'll have repercussions across the globe. Military families with children and mortgages will be badly hurt. And they mention Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea taking advantage of this. In 2018, the last major shutdown, the long one, Congress passed a law at the same time that said that military personnel and military contractors working for the military would be paid. They did not do that this time. One Republican congresswoman put a bill in, but there's no movement on it at all. Right now, let's see, today is the 26th, my brother Alex's birthday, 26. Today is the 26th of September. In 4 days, if the government shuts down, not only will many military families, and the Pentagon said up to 1 million military members, and they have their own families, and civilian military employees may not get paid, but food stamps, they changed the name of it, but food assistance to vulnerable people stops. These people in the Republican hierarchy are really sadistic, because you can make your point, and they have points to make, and I'll be happy to talk about them, and any responsible Republican calls the station, I enjoy talking to them, about what to do at the border. I agree. There are some things that we should do at the border. What to do with a lot of things, in education and otherwise. But to do this to the most vulnerable people in our society, poor people who need food, military families, and these are not generals and admirals' military families. These are privates. These are sailors. These are E1s and E2s. They have a spouse, a couple of kids. They have a mortgage. What, the bank that holds the mortgage is good? Oh, that's fine. You don't have to pay, what, for a couple of months? Government's good for it? No. Some banks will do that. Very few, and a lot of them won't. A lot of them won't. Now, where are we on it right now? McCarthy gave the House 4 days off. So they sat around, kind of twiddling their thumbs. They come back. They're back today. The Senate has put in a bill, a clean continuing resolution called a CR, that's stripped of any weird stuff, any baggage. It's just pure money. It doesn't even have anything for Ukraine. Supposedly to appease the people in the Republican caucus who love Russia. They say they hate Ukraine. They don't hate Ukraine. They love Russia. The Russians are like them. The Russians are like them, crooked as a dog's hind leg. That's the way they are. And now it looks like there's something like, they say 10, I think it's more like 6 or 7, will not agree to any continuing resolution, no matter what. They want to shut the government down. They want to shut the government down. Now, let's be obvious here. The entire Senate, bipartisan, is for this thing, this continuing resolution. All 213 Democrats would support it. McCarthy needs 5 more votes. 5 more votes. And he has 221 votes, supposedly. But if 5 or 6 of them won't do it, he only has 214 Republicans, 15 Republicans. So he needs 3 more votes. Whatever he needs. This isn't complicated. And then he goes to Hakeem Jeffries, and he says, all right, Hakeem, I need 3 or 4 votes. What's so hard about that? What's so hard about that? And then it's taken care of. What he's afraid of is that he'll lose his speakership. He's not going to lose his speakership. One of his principal allies, a guy named Graves down in Louisiana, said, you know, I'm getting tired of these right-wing types. I'm going to put in a motion to vacate the chair myself just to smoke them out. Everybody will vote. So what are they going to do? Not vote for him? Not have a speaker? They're not going to vote for Hakeem Jeffries. All the Democrats in the first ballot will vote for Hakeem Jeffries. They'll go another 15 ballots. That is how sick, cancerous the Republican Party has become. Go to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling, Gene. What's in your mind today?
Hi. Great show. Thank you, Matt, for all the information. I got to add one more thing besides the sick and cancerous. It's dangerous and anti-American, anti-democracy. They want to be in the show there, but they don't give one iota of what they're doing. They have not. These people who are holding this up and hurting our country have not did one thing positive to correct any issues that they have in our country besides just hurt everybody, stop everything, chaos, just lunacy. So I hope people will remember that, and I hope they call their representative because Wisconsin congressmen, the Republicans are right along with them. Some of the stuff they've come up with. So take a look at it, folks, because you really need to call and tell them to do their gal dang job or get the heck out. Thank you, Matt, and keep up the great work.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Gene. That's terrific. And, you know, I'd say you take a look at our congressmen, the Republicans. Tiffany and Fitzgerald are exactly like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Gosar and Matt Gaetz. But the other three, what, you guys pretend you're what, moderates or something? You pretend you're moderates and you're standing by and let the government get shut down? You're not going to McCarthy and say, McCarthy, get as many Republican votes as you can. Get 213, 14 of them. Then you what, need 4 more? Do the math. Head count. And then you go over and you get four moderate Democrats. Get Brendan Boyle out of Pennsylvania. Get some folks from New York, California. There's plenty of them. They won't do it. They won't do it. And if this happens, if this shutdown happens this coming, well, Saturday or Sunday, this is a different international scene than it's been in the past. We have adversaries like Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran that are pushing a lot harder than they did before. This is potentially very dangerous. It's demoralizing our military. And then don't get me started on Tommy Tuberville. Don't get me started on Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville is a chicken hawk. He never served in the military. He's afraid of the military. Crooked Donald Trump is a chicken hawk. He's actually a draft dodger. In my generation, you had to serve, but you found a way to get around the draft. He found a way, he said he had bone spurs, so he could hang around the nightclubs in New York and try to move in on the girlfriends of guys who were in Vietnam. And that's really what the guy did. Guy's a bad guy. So here's how it goes. You have a chicken hawk, Trump, saying that General Milley should be executed. You have another chicken hawk, Gosar, down in Arizona, saying that Milley should be hung. And then you have Tuberville in Alabama, another chicken hawk, saying he's not going to permit what? Who is he? Was he God? Permit the promotions of, now it's going to be upwards of 600 flag officers by December. Our army is 25% under in its recruitment goals. And you got three chicken hawks. Two of them want to kill the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and they don't get prosecuted? Where are the prosecutors? And the chicken hawk down in Alabama, Tuberville? You know, there are 99 other senators. What are you doing? What in God's name are you doing? What do you think, you're in Skull and Bones or something? You think what? We're going to go quick to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. We're coming up on a break, but I want to get to you, Joe of Madison.
Just quickly, Matt, and I know this is veering off, but it does pertain in terms of idiotic moves by Republicans. This time is on the state level, and I'd be curious about your reaction. The group American Oversight has said they're going to be suing Voss and Company because they are not complying with the open meetings law that Wisconsin has, with this silly little secret panel they have to, quote, advise them on what the criterion is for impeaching Janet Prowitz-Sawicz. And they're going to be meeting over the next several weeks, but they provided no advance notice as per our law. Here's my question for you. How can you go after them? One question. And the second question is to advise them on what the criteria is for impeaching Janet. We already know what it is, don't we? What are they talking about? Why have this meeting? I'd be curious about your reactions. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, excellent question. And I'm going to partially answer now. I'm getting the sign from Cal that I've got to go to a break, so then I'll do the rest afterwards. But we know the criteria. The criteria in the statute. Criteria say a crime or corruption in office, and they don't exist. And then we're going to go to the break, and right after the break, I'm going to tell you about the rest of your question and about that lawsuit. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Don't hang up. I see you out there.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray evening shower, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight and a low in the upper 50s. More clouds around for tomorrow, just a slight chance of a shower, high upper 60s. Some sun and low 70s Thursday. Warmer on Friday with abundant sunshine, highs in the upper 70s. Currently at 62 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Welcome back to Mathlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to finish answering Joe's question, and then we're going to go right to the lines. Joe, thanks for the call. The criteria in the statute to impeach Janet Protasiewicz or anyone else, there's got to be a crime committed. She's committed none. Or corruption in office. There's no corruption in office. She hasn't done anything in office. So he said, I am going to speak to a couple of Supreme Court justices and it won't be Gableman. That's what he said. Okay. It is a political scam. A couple of old Supreme Court justices, prior Supreme Court justices shooting their mouth off is not the law. Also, the ones he's talking to, David Prosser, for instance, if that's who he's talking to, is the one that didn't run again and was accused of putting his hands around the throat of Ann Walsh Bradley. Oh, great. And then another one would be Pat Rogensack, who is one of the three justices who voted not to certify Joe Biden. She's an election denier. Great. Are you kidding me? So who else if it's not Gableman? Now, several Supreme Court justices came out and said there is no basis to impeach her. And that is Jeanine Gieske and Lou Butler. They're both friends of mine. I know them well. They're very good people. And both of them publicly opined. The lawsuit is basically this. Boss, if you're going to do a sneaky political thing, you're going to claim there's some kind of panel you're going to talk to and you're not going to tell us who it is, and you're going to meet in secret, you can't do that under our laws. You don't want to expose it as a sneaky little political thing, but let's get a judge ordering you to, and then he's got to disclose them, and then let us in to see what the meeting is all about. That's what it's about. It's great. What this is political jujitsu or ping pong. He's pulling a sneaky political thing. They are doing a very upstanding political thing and legal thing back against him. The whole thing is a fraud. The impeachment is a fraud. And there's no basis for doing it. And I've advocated that if they impeach, she doesn't step down, that the Supreme Court orders, that there's a lawsuit that says that they should be enjoined, orders them to file a brief in 10 days with the grounds and then enjoin the legislature. They can. They're a co-equal branch of government. If the legislature thinks they're going to shut the Supreme Court down, no way. The Supreme Court should shut the legislature down. They're co-equal. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Criminal at best. It's just a sad thing. And he's going to impeach her because they want to keep control of power in the state. And the same thing is going to happen with Megan. They're going to also impeach her. So it's a sad day for Wisconsin. We desperately need fair maps to correct this situation. Thanks.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent comment. Right. They have no basis to impeach either one of them. And so what I've said still stands. If they say we impeach, you got to step down. Supreme Court says no, enter a temporary restraining order and say, give us the grounds and the crime or the corruption, and whatever they come back with, then you say you can't. You were enjoined from taking further action on the impeachment, and the clerk is enjoined from doing anything to put it into action. And then you put him in jail. You put him in jail if he disobeys that, and he won't. But the important thing is you've got to step up to these people. You can't just say, okay, I'm impeached, so I'm going to, step down for 2 years while the Mayhew pretends to consider it? No way. No way. Tom of West Allis, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Tom?
Hey there. I have a quick question. When Trump is found guilty, and I'm going to say it like that, I'm assuming he'll definitely appeal. If he appeals, does that mean he gets to roam free, or will they lock him up?
The judge has he will appeal. The judge has the discretion to lock him up pending appeal. She doesn't have to let him go. Some judges will. In this one, I don't know what she'd do. If I were the judge, I'd say you're going to jail. Then he'd issue an emergency appeal. And if the appeals court says you have to free him while we do it, so be it. But no, I would not set him free. Absolutely not. The other thing is, just came over the wires, so I'm not going to be able to have much of a chance to talk about this. But apparently that judge in New York came down and is holding Trump liable in that lawsuit brought by Letitia James. Remember, he wanted it dismissed. Well, it came down against him about 10 minutes ago. So you'll probably hear other people talking about this, and I'll talk about it some more tomorrow. Okay, Karina of Milwaukee. Thanks for calling. Karina, what's in your mind today?
Hi. Well, you know what? Was that Tommy Tuberville? It's ridiculous and really worrisome for me, because I believe it's a opening, it's a sabotage, and it's an opening for very easy to insert espionage and diversity in the army. I mean, this is he definitely works for somebody, because nobody else would wish it on anyone in their country. For your own country, for your own military power to be completely confused and disoriented who they are and where they live and who they command, it's a sabotage. And yeah, my question is there anyone who can actually tell him, get out, we're going to do it ourselves, or do what we're telling you to do? I mean, Mr.
Yeah, we only have 2 minutes. Let me answer. It's a very good question. That's an important question. Yes, we could get rid of this tomorrow. I fault every one of our senators. They think they're in skull and bones. They think they're a secret society and any one of them can do anything and the rest defer. I saw an interview with Elizabeth Warren the other day. She said, nothing we can do. That's not true. Yes, you can do. There's 51 Democrats. You can easily just say, we're going to push this through. And Moscow Mitch will get up and say, we need cloture. We need 67 votes. Dirty little secret. The majority can get rid of that requirement just by a majority, and they won't do it. Now, maybe it's because Manchin, Sinema won't go along. I don't know. But Moscow Mitch could do it. He could sit down with Schumer and say, all right, bring it on, and I will get you 17 Republican votes to bust this Tommy Tuberville, the chicken hawk, and he won't do it. We have three chicken hawks. We have crooked Donald Trump. We have, frankly, insane Paul Gosar, who should be prosecuted for saying that General Milley should be hanged. Crooked, lying Donald Trump should be prosecuted for saying that General Milley should be put to death, murdered. And the chicken hawk Tuberville. The chicken hawk Tuberville, I'll tell you how Ulysses Grant would have dealt with him back in 1865. That's what should have happened to the Tommy Tuberville types. But you're absolutely right. One senator, according to all the other senators, it's okay for him to shut down all our promotions, demoralize our military, and give aid and comfort to Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Stand by for another great show. Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute. Matt Flynn, direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Hey. I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five
like a
minutes.
Week. Whoever was excited, then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 AD P. Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media.